Chuck Chad Technorama for Sunday, August 21st, 2005.
This show is a proud member of
the TechPodcast.com network.
Find out more about this and other shows at
www.techpodcast.com.
TechPodcast.com.
If it's tech, it's here.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
Unilateral phase detractors. Cardinal gram meters. Six hydrotopic Margot vanes. Conductors and fluxes. Prefamulated annulite. Malleable logarithmic casing. Swerving bearings. Panometric fan. Milford trunnions. And the facial lunar wane shaft. Lotus O-deltoid type. Semi-boloid slots of the stator. Drawn reciprocation dingle arm. Sinusoidal depleneration. Retroencabulator.
Welcome to Chuck Chat Technorama. Technorama is the show that goes down smooth and easy, and we won't mention what happens after that. I am your host, Chuck Tomasi, and back in the co-pilot's chair, I almost said captain's chair, but that's my chair. Back in the co-pilot's chair is the one, the only, Craig Stepp.
Hey there. Hey, wait a minute. Something's wrong with my chair. Oh. Thank you, everybody.
They're glad to see you.
Thank you. I think Kevin's been sitting in my chair. He's messed up my ass groove.
Yeah. Got to work the crease, right?
Yeah.
Thanks, Kevin.
Yeah, appreciate something. That, Kevin.
Coming up in tonight's show, we've got the man in... What do you call him? The man in blue? No, that would be a police officer.
Blue tights.
The man in blue tights. That's not even complimentary. The man of steel!
Duh.
Superman. My metaphors are all wrong tonight.
Chuck, metaphor man.
And since this kind of goes together, doesn't it? On the
actually,
Superman theme.
When you put this in the notes, I was like, he's playing on the Superman thing.
Faster than the speed of light. Actually, he was faster than the speeding bullet, but we've got an article on faster than the speed of light.
That's right.
And also we have a good website for references to spyware, adware, and virus tools for detection and identification and things like that. But first, a word from our sponsor.
If you joined our first go-to live event at techpodcast.com, you will agree that everyone had a great time. We will be having more live events with GoToMeeting again and again. We will be demonstrating websites, software, projects, and all sorts of solutions in our next event. GoToMeeting allowed us to share our presenter screen seamlessly. You can try GoToMeeting for your own needs free for 30 days. To get this special deal, head to gotomeetings.com/techpodcast. You'll love what you see.
You're listening to Technorama.
And here's what we won't be covering tonight, because ChuckChat.com, we go for the stories that are not so newsworthy, but still interesting. We like to geek out for a while, and we know you've probably already heard a million stories about the Zotab virus and Microsoft suing Apple over the iPod interface patent.
Hey, yeah. Stupid!
But you found one that I hadn't heard of, or I might have missed in all of my other things. Bell Labs disbands the Unix group?
Yep, it's about that time. This is a link I got from Slashdot, and over there they say Peter Salas over at theunixreview.com is reporting that AT&T Department 1127, responsible for creating and maintaining Unix, has finally been disbanded.
Aww.
The article provides an interesting "Where Are They Now?" list of original authors of Unix. So I thought that was worth noting. I haven't heard anybody else mention that. So anyway,
I mean, like, what it's worth. Brian Kernighan. And Dennis Ritchie, was it Scott Thompson? No. Oh, dang. I'm missing a name. It's something, we'll just refer to him as Mr. T.
Mr. T. I pity the fool and forget my name.
I pity the fool who don't use Unix.
There you go. Ken Thompson.
Ken Thompson, that's it.
Brian Kernighan, Doug McIlroy, Rob Pike, Dave Posado, Tom Duff, Phil Winterbottom. I like that last name. Gerard Halsman and Bob Flandera. All of them have got some strange last names.
You have to be Unix geek. Hey, yeah. I have to warm up the vocal cords for On This Day in Geek History.
Yeah.
On this day in tech history for August 21st, 2005. It was on this day in 1841 the Venetian blind was first patented in the United States by John Hampson. The first successful adding machine in the U.S. was patented by William Seward Burroughs back in 1888. And also on this day in 1993, the U.S. lost contact with the Mars Observer spacecraft. Famous birthdays for August 21st include Hubert Gautier, the French scientist and civil engineer born on this day in 1660. Also born on August 21st, 1665, Giacomo F. Maraldi, the French-Italian astronomer. Scottish inventor William Murdoch in 1754. Augustine Louis Cauchy, the French mathematician, 1789. Jean Stas, the Belgian chemist, born on this day in 1813. And 1816 was the year French chemist Charles Frederick Gerhard made his debut. And finally, happy birthday to Ettore Bugatti, the automobile manufacturer, today in 1947. And that's the way it was for August 21st, 2005.
Get your own piece of the internet and save over 20% at GoDaddy. The perfect way to start is with your own .com name, and my friends at GoDaddy.com make it fast, fun, and affordable. Right now, for listeners of this show, you can get .com names for just $6.95 at GoDaddy. No limit. Just enter TECH2, that's T-E-C-H, and the number 2 is your source code. For .coms, it's GoDaddy.com.
Hi, this is Tim from Winecast, and when I want to get in touch with my inner geek, I go to Chuck Chat Technorama. 101, guys.
Craig, I need help.
Yeah, I agree.
No, I need technical help. I know I ran this past you, but I'm seeing if there's anybody out there in listener land that can also help. I don't know if this is my misunderstanding, a change in the spec, a change in software, or something. But real quick, without getting too in-depth, everybody knows that I just changed hosting providers from my own stuff, which I was running NetBSD, Apache 1.3, and PHP 4 dot something, blah, blah, blah. And I moved everything. I picked it up and went to GoDaddy. And my personal family site is now broken because the blog software that I wrote used what's known as the path info information to figure out which database index to use to get the right articles, to get the right... It's kind of like a topic. Well, my understanding was that in the URL, you've got www.hostname.com, and if you had an application after that, it would be like /CGI/myprogram.php. Okay, that's the URL to run the program. You can optionally put in information after that, like a virtual directory path, slash... files, okay, slash, and it will put that into the system variable or the server variable or the environment variable. I can't remember which. It's actually $_server path_info is the subscript. That's not the case since I moved to GoDaddy, and I don't know if this is an Apache 2.0 thing or if it's the way GoDaddy's got their PHP configured, but what I get right now in path info is the script name, and it says... Right. There's no database index called /php/blog.php. I said, that's not what should be in path info. If I didn't specify anything after the .php part, it should say nothing. It'll say, oh, it's null, I'll use the default value, and on it goes. But now it's getting the actual script name in the path underscore info. If I wanted the script name, I'd go after underscore server script name. But if I try to specify it the way I used to, blog.php/blog/default, it goes, I can't find that script.
Like, well, you know, I think I may have a little help for you. And I think it may be the way GoDaddy has their server set up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
What it does is it tries to pass if you put that in there, it sees it as a 404. And I see it's trying to pass it out to your site /php/404.php.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I was reading about doing this specific thing, and you can read about it on php.net. They were talking about how your 404 page would actually be a search page. And so when you get to this, because if you, on your page that you have a 404 that you get.
Right.
If you look at the bottom, you're actually getting that information. It shows you, it says looking for /php blog, blah, blah.
Right.
You see it? You should be able to get that somewhere. Yeah, break it out. So what is happening is, and this is how on php.net, you can just type in php.net/ and a command name.
Right.
And it'll automatically redirect you to one of their pages because it performs a search function. Their 404 page performs a search function.
I'm going to have to research that a little bit more.
Yeah.
Right now, my personal site's broken.
Now, I've never done it URLs like this before. And when you brought this up, I was like, okay, you know, I've never read about this. I'm going to go find out. But I was looking, like I said, reading on PHP's site, and they were talking about they make their 404 page actually a search page. So when you put in, you know, index.php/test/we or whatever, you know,
mm-hmm.
when you get redirected to the 404 page, it actually performs a search and shows you the articles that you were trying to pull up.
But it shouldn't hit a 404. That should be in the path info, and the path translated is supposed to be the actual physical version of that same path.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying I think maybe I'm a little confused in what you're trying to do, but I think that if you were to modify your 404 page to pull that information up and then put you in the right place, or,
well, my point
I don't
know. Is it shouldn't hit a 404. I know we're probably getting way too deep for the non-programmers, so we're
are a geek
it.
Show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I don't know. I don't know. I think it needs a little. When I need to do a little more, understand a little bit more. But I think I think I'm on the right. I might be on the right track. I don't know. But you can obviously get that information from somewhere.
I did a search on Google for path_info, and it came up with, I think it was a page that I've been using for years on the, I think it was a CGI, not the CGI Gateway page, but it's that little one that looks like a Pink Floyd album with the prism. You know, if I see it again, I'll know it. And it's part of the URL. There's the host, there's the application, you've got the query string, is everything after the question mark. Well, there's this piece between the program. Oops, don't bump the booms, the mic will jump boom.
Yeah, that hurts my ears, man.
Thing between the question mark and the program, which you can specify an alternate directory. And it will translate that. Well, it's not doing it for me. But let's move on, since we're way too deep into this.
Well, anyway, I'll throw this out there, and we'll put a link out there for this. But what the page I was talking about was php.net/url-how-to.php. And maybe that'll help some.
I will look there.
And I'll put it in the show notes.
Okay. Okay. And then I'll see if I can find you an example of what it used to do also, because I think I have my old site still up.
Okay.
You got a strange story for us.
Yeah, well, not really a strange story, but as so much as I saw this, it was a link today via Gizmodo, the Gizmodo website. Japanese scientists have created a new type of sliding door that I think they would be jealous in Starfleet of. Have you seen the picture of this, Chuck?
I did. It was kind of... It almost looked like one of those cartoon character things where the cartoon character goes blasting through the wall and it's in the shape of whatever position they were in when they went through the wall.
Yeah, exactly. So you got this door, and there's two sides to the whole thing. So you split the door in the middle, and say if you put your fingers together and you see, you know, you have vertical lines on each side.
Horizontal.
Horizontal. The military vertical. And your fingers would slide back and it would present itself in the shape of whatever's trying to pass through. The idea was that they said was, let's see, it was to keep unnecessary air pressure and germs and whatever can actually pass through only when the object that's passing through it has room enough to pass through, you know, rather than the whole door opening.
Wouldn't that cause more of a Venturi effect and blow the person over? If just a little spot opened instead of a big spot?
Well, I think there was like, you know, if you got a room on the one side, you don't have to open the whole thing. You can just open part of it for you to pass through. I'm not saying it's going to hold back a, you know, air pressure to blow you out of the
I got
decompression room.
Two questions. How does it know what shape is coming?
Well, oh, on the end of each, and right down the center, yeah, I told you it was their split. Mm-hmm. There's sensors on each end, and it kind of, I guess it, when it senses something close to it, it moves away until there's nothing blocking it, and it causes, like you said, the cartoon effect where it's in the shape of.
And how fast or slow, how slow do you have to be moving for this thing to work right? I mean, if you were moving along at a good clip and all of a sudden, wham, the door didn't open fast enough.
I know. Just like in Star Trek blooper reels.
How about just like in our grocery store down the street?
Yeah. Well, I tell you, go if you go to the link that I provide in the show notes, there's a video on how it works.
Oh, there was a video. Okay.
Yeah, there's
That'll
a video.
Help.
Yeah, and it'll show you exactly how it works. It looks pretty cool. They even the girl set a package in front of it, mm-hmm. and slid it up to it, and only a little area slid open so you could push the package in, and then whoever on the other side pulled it in, you could see the bands closed.
Those Japanese, they think of everything.
Yeah. Now wait a minute before you pass on.
Yes.
Or move along rather. Pass away. Don't pass away, Chuck. I did find a video. I put this in the notes. I think you probably need a refresh to see it. But and I saw this little quick video. It was a commercial for the Honda's Azimo.
Yes, you know, the little robot. Walking robot, yeah.
Yeah, that you see waving at somebody when they're delivering the paper. Well, this video shows it running.
Really?
And yeah, the guy's in an airport, and he's on one of those people movers, and he's standing there, and you see the robot kind of walking along in the foreground, and it's starting to pass him, so he walks faster, it rocks faster, then he moves a little faster, and you see it start to run, you know, it starts picking up the pace. That thing is cool to see move like that.
Wow.
And I've got a link to that also.
Okay.
So I was always fascinated by the Azimo thing. I wanted to see it do more, and that, you know, there you go.
Hello, this is Michael W. Moss with podweather.com, usaweather.org, and radionhcwx.com, and you're listening to Chuck Chat Technorama.
We have a little bit of listener feedback that I want to get through real quick, because we still haven't gotten to our stories.
Hey, man, I got a whole week to catch up on. Let's go. Let's make it a long one.
All right. Now, I'm not sure if I edited this or you edited this, but now I've lost track of who sent this. Rats. It says, hi, Chuck. I apologize for not having the sender. I know I put it in there at one point. Hi, Chuck. I thought I'd send you a question for your show. Oh, I know who sent this. I think this was my coworker or former coworker, Steve Heuser. How did you pick GoDaddy.com for your new host? What other host did you look at? What was the deciding factor? Who are you running for president soon? Oh, I just threw that last part to myself.
What is your blood type?
And a whole lot more questions. About ISPs and things. Real quick, in a nutshell, I chose GoDaddy.com partly because I had heard good things about them. Partly because of price and availability of what I could get. I did a little bit of shopping around. I asked some other people. And it for starting out and looking at the growth and what it would cost to get me there, I settled on GoDaddy. I also thought that it would be good experience, since they are one of our hosts, to try them out and let you know. And you know what? I'm still satisfied, very satisfied with their service. I talked to them twice today. In fact, I actually escalated a call, and I think I was getting some service that I shouldn't actually get because of my service level agreement and what I'm paying for. I'm on a shared host, and these guys were still going pretty well out of their way to help me out.
Cool.
So I'm very happy with GoDaddy, and that is from the end user, not from a advertiser paid perspective that we still haven't seen.
Yeah, well, we should mention they are an advertiser, of course, like you said earlier, but unsolicited. And you know, I've been very happy with them too. I've been using them since what, March or so, and they've been fantastic. I have to say that what drew me to it was the Super Bowl ad. Did you see the Super Bowl ad?
Oh, yeah. The one with the girl in her costume malfunction.
Yeah.
We also have another one from K.O. Wright from Hawaii. Sent in a voicemail on Skype answering machine, but I was unfortunate. I couldn't get that transferred over here real quick. Asking a question to Craig. Where? Mm-hmm. Why did you choose the name Keyboard Monkey?
Let's see. Charlie Manson was taken. I don't know. You know, I'm always on the keyboard. You know, I'm a coder, so I just thought the Keyboard Monkey sounded cool.
Made sense to me when I knew it was when you were a programmer.
Did it? Sure. Oh yeah, I guess so.
Chuck Chat is the only show that you know you can go to fill your head in the kind of stuff like Cooper Geeks.
Tell me about bluetights.net.
Well, Chuck, you know, when you go out at night and, you know, your wife's at home and you were kind of feeling a little pretty, you know, you can go, wait a minute. Oh, wrong
don't
story.
Do that while I'm drinking water.
No, bluetights.net. I'm sure a lot of people have probably seen some links to it or whatnot, but bluetights.net is the official movie site for the Superman movie, which is coming out in a little less than a year now. As they're filming the new movie, Superman, Bryan Singer, the director, which you probably seen or remember from X-Men,
uh-huh,
he's been posting a video diary. And there's about 22 video journals up there now, and I have to say they're very entertaining. On my week vacation at the beach last week, one of the people there happened to have Wi-Fi, so at night I was sitting there flipping through them. I have to say they were very entertaining, and they show glimpses of what Superman's going to look like. You can see from the beginning some of the tests they were doing with the special effects, all the way to some of the computer models that they've been working on, which is some of the later stuff. And I think the last one he did was the San Diego Comic-Con. They played a good bit of video, showed a lot of clips of what it's going to kind of look like, the decor, he's walking into the Daily Planet, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's getting me excited about the movie, so I think it's going to be really cool. I think it actually takes place after Superman 2, and Superman, instead of, I guess, those later movies, which I don't really care for. I like Superman 1 and 2 is all right. Superman's gone for a while. He returns back to Earth after 5 or 6 years of absence. And, of course, Lois Lane's moved on, love life, and there's, you know, crime has gotten worse. Disasters have gotten worse over time. So he's back, and he's trying to fit back in. So it looks really cool.
Really?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I always liked the original Superman movie and the Superman 2, but, you know, after, you know, the quest for peace, well, you know, please.
Leave Richard Pryor out of it this time.
Yeah, right.
Chuck Chat is.
You're listening to the Technorama podcast, and this is Rob from Podcast 411 reminding you to listen different.
Yeah. Sorry, it's Chuck Chat. You're going to get those kind of little bloopers. I reached over and hit space, and the right thing wasn't queued up.
Let's see, we'll mark that one down for the not the best of.
Yeah. And special thanks to Craig for last Wednesday's show. Yay!
Oh,
we should do the obligatory thing again here. The crowd loved it.
Thank you. Thank you.
And
you
stop.
Can all be seated. You can all be seated now.
Okay.
Actually, that was a lot of fun to put together, and I hope everybody enjoyed listening to it last week. But, you know, it gave us a chance for me and Chuck to take a night off. So.
And did he?
Yeah, what did you do?
I think I actually only spent 1 hour on the computer.
Oh, come on, man.
Well, you know, it takes about 5 times longer to make a show than it actually is to do a show.
Yeah.
So I got 5 times more time off. Well, a team of researchers from the... Oh, pardon me. It's in French. From the École Polytechnique Fédérale de Lausanne, the EPFL, has successfully demonstrated for the first time that it is possible to control the speed of light, both slowing it down and speeding it up. in an optical fiber using off-the-shelf instrumentation in normal environmental conditions. Their results to be published in the August 22nd issue of... Hey, that's in... What, tomorrow!
Yes.
The August 22nd issue of Applied Physics Letters could have implications that range from optical computing to the fiber optic telecommunications industry. Not only that, but you could be your own grandfather.
Let's see, if I went back, don't interfere with the time-space continuum. I think it's been drilled in my head. Don't do that.
The article goes on, and we'll find our link to that, but the article goes on to talk a whole lot about how they actually did this and mm-hmm. what the applications could be. Very interesting stuff that you can actually make light travel faster than light.
I think that's pretty cool.
I'm not sure I understand it because I'm not a physicist like that. But
well, I don't know about you, Chuck, but I'm gonna look for my issue of Applied Physics Letters tomorrow.
Can you get that on the internet?
Yeah, no, internet. They mail it to me. I'm a subscriber.
Handwritten, right?
Yeah, I think it was interesting. I also read. There was a guy, he sounded a little crackpotish, but he was talking about it was possible to make a time machine with lasers, bending light, and they were speculating that you couldn't go back in time farther than when the time machine was developed.
Wow, that sounds like something for Evo and Michael to discuss on Slice of Sci-Fi.
You didn't read that?
No, I didn't read that.
Yeah, they were discussing the about time travel.
If that's the case, then I have absolutely no faith in the Quantum Leap television show anymore.
Yeah, man. That was bogus.
Because everything there happened before.
Yeah. Hey, did you also read, kind of relating to this, they found some a paper of Einstein's recently?
Really? What did it say? 2 dozen eggs, a loaf of bread...
Right. No, it was one of his last papers that was thought to be lost. I was just reading it. I'm sorry, I didn't put it in the show note to
we'll have to
talk intelligently about it. But anyway, it was pretty cool.
You find that.
I'll find that.
Hey there, everybody. This is Fab Philip J from the Tech Podcast Network in Mac Philly, almost live. And you, my intrepid friend, are listening to the wacky Chuck Tomasi right here on Chuck Chat Technorama. This message has been brought to you by Panavision in living color.
We have found the ultimate tool for identifying spyware, adware, and viruses. I don't know if it'll actually do anything with them, but it'll identify them. If you go to www.tasklist.org, just how it sounds, TASKLAST.ORG, there is a wonderful list, and it is a big list, as you can well imagine, with all the viruses and spywares and things out there today. It's a huge list, and, well, at least... If it doesn't fix anything, you'll at least know how badly infected you are.
Was it an app? It looks like just a list to me.
Congratulations, you've got the skegind.exe virus. Oh my gosh, this thing's huge. I thought there was an app out here.
See if I can get an antibiotic.
The ultimate resource to help you determine if your computer is infected with spyware, adware, or viruses.
And you know what would be cool? If you could take a list of what's running, dump it, and match it against this list. That would make sense.
Doesn't sound like that'd be a hard application to make.
No, I mean, probably one of those applications from SysInternals, the process explorer.
Well, the other thing this would be useful for, and I don't know how up to date it is, but couldn't you use that if you were, say, Webroot, keeping your spy sweeper list up to date?
Possibly.
Junior. I'm going to look for the Ark. Would you like to join me? Oh, wait, they were looking for the Grail.
That too.
I was hoping maybe we would just keep babbling and come across a segue, but forget it.
Junior, we'll make it a long weekend.
We've got a... I spotted a product leak on shopping.com. Shopping.com has listed a 4.1 gigabyte iPod Shuffle. This is either a cruel joke, a typo error, or a product leak, which leads the people to speculate that...
or all of the above.
Keep your eyes on Apple this week. They may be announcing a new iPod Shuffle.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, I found my article. It was also on Slashdot. It was an original Einstein manuscript. You want to hear about it?
The teacher has a big butt. I think it was a second grade school manuscript.
Do you like me? Check yes or no. The original manuscript of a paper Albert Einstein published in 1925 has been found in the archives of Leiden University's Lawrence Institute for Theoretical Physics. The German language manuscript is titled Quantum Theory of Monatomic Ideal Gases.
I thought you were going to say maniacal.
I was trying to, but that's not right. Quantum Theory of Monatomic Ideal Gas, and is dated December 1924, and is considered one of Einstein's last great breakthroughs. They have high-resolution photographs of the 16-page manuscript, which I looked at, which is really cool, because you can clearly see it. So I think it's awesome that they put that on the net for people to be able to view.
It was in 24? So it was 1924?
It was dated 1924,
And he was born in 1879, so 21, 24, 45?
He died in the 50s, I think.
55, yeah. Mm-hmm. April 18th, 1955.
So, were you writing this down?
No, I was looking on Wikipedia.
Oh.
You don't think I actually know this.
I'm writing this down for future reference. Mm-hmm. So, no. Anyway, I thought it was kind of interesting that they find something like that.
That is interesting. Are you going to include the link?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Craig is Mr. Show Notes.
Live.
TechChat.com. Ramblings of a Technophile.
We have a real quick geek library tonight. Only I can't say it.
Yes, you can.
This is a G-rated show.
No, let's go for the explicit tag.
We're going to... No. We're going to... You already said a semi-nasty word earlier about your chair.
Hi, my ass groove?
Shh. Come on.
Hey, they said it on The Simpsons. Come on.
Oh. Yeah, this is supposed to be kid safe. Would you want to say that in blaring it through the speakers in the van?
I've got my son saying chicken butt. Yeah, it don't matter.
Well, chicken butt's one thing. But this website is far beyond that. All right, this is a job title generator. It's we'll put the link in the show notes, but it takes three columns. One is sort of generic prefixes, one is middle titles, and one is suffixes. So you can be the industrial technical coordinator. It just picks... out of this list of about 30 or 40 words in each column, it just randomly jumbles them together. And you go, hey, that actually sounds pretty logical.
I did look at that. That is pretty good.
It just kind of jumbles them up. It's straight out of Office Space.
Yeah. Read a couple of them.
All right. I will come in, click on the linky, and you just click the button that says generate title here. Regional Response Analyst, Legacy Optimization Manager, Corporate Group Designer, Customer Identity Planner, Senior Group Administrator, Direct Configuration Designer, Future Intranet Manager. Now that one sounds good, doesn't it? I'm going to leave it there since that had a tie to the web.
Yeah.
This week, our featured techpodcast.com partner is the World's Technology Podcast. On the World's Technology Podcast, tech correspondent Clark Boyd starts rolling out some of the material he gathered while in Norway during the past 2 weeks. First up, the Opera web browser. This small Norwegian company has been fighting the good fight against Microsoft for the better part of a decade. You'll meet Opera's ultra international team and find out why browsers for cell phones and handhelds may be the future. Also, video blogging in Bergen, and some Podsafe music from some Norwegian guys who spent way too much time listening to Aha growing up. More at theworld.org/technology.
Chuck Chat Technorama. There's nothing worse than a geek with a sense of humor.
Attention podcasters and portable audio and video enthusiasts. The Podcast and Portable Media Expo is November 11th and 12th, 2005, in Southern California at the Ontario Convention Center. Walk the exhibit hall and demo the latest hardware and software tools for creating podcasts. Hear from audio engineers about how they record and edit their own audio files, and attend classes on how to promote your podcast and attract paying sponsors. Register today at www.podcast.com. Expo.com.
Geek Thoughts.
There are only 10 types of people in this world. Those who know binary and those who don't.
Well, that's just about going to wrap it up for us this week.
No, don't. No, I'm not done yet.
You're not.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. No, I'm going.
We're going to the expo. We're going to the expo.
Yes, I am.
Looking forward to it. And we hope to see you there.
I'm starting the conga line now. Dun, 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 dun,
dun. Oh, I can just imagine what that's going to look like with a bunch of podcasting geeks.
Ooh. Maybe we won't show that video. We'll have to pull our money to pay off whoever's got the video.
We already have a bribing idea. We're going to earn some money by bribing other podcasters. We're going out and we're gathering all of their first shows and we're going to play them. Unless they pay us good money.
In order.
If you would like to contact us, we've got the listener line at 206-222-CHAT. That's always available and still works. There's email to me, chuckachuckchat.com, or Craig is keyboardmonkey@gmail.com, as we mentioned earlier. The rest of the information and much, much more can be found at www.chuckchat.com. Any parting words of wisdom, Senor?
The only way Microsoft can create something that doesn't suck is for them to start manufacturing vacuums.
And we leave you with that deep thought by Craig Stapp.
Yeah! Yeah!
Are you glad to be back, Craig?
You know it, man. I couldn't stand being away. But I want to thank Kevin for sitting in my chair.
There's only one throne for you, and we know where that's kept.
Yep. I'll take the magazine. I'll see you in a bit.
Thanks for listening. Binary high five.
101.
Oh, he's getting rusty. Thanks, Craig.
Yeah.